Gladys Barker Grauer's legacy is immortalized through her art and the immense imprint left on the city of Newark and beyond. From opening Newark's first art gallery in the Weekway section to sparking a mural movement that began in 2006, Gladys Barker Grauer will be remembered as someone who was a trailblazer, consistently creating lanes for Black and brown artists to thrive. It was back in 2015, local artist and producer Spencer Froworth sat with Gladys Barker Grauer to hear about her earnest beginnings in Newark.
The artists were not looking to Newark. They were looking to New York. The white artists, there was the Women's Caucus for Art. That was Judy Brodsky at Rutgers, Newark. She had a group of women artists there. And they were not exhibiting in Newark. They were exhibiting in the corporates. You know, that was their connection. Most of the time I spent going to New York to galleries, etc., and not really thinking of any art in Newark. Then, after the riots, no, even before the riots, I had seen a place on Bergen Street. I said, ooh, I would like to have an art gallery there. But that was not feasible. After the riots, there were a lot of vacant storefronts along Bergen Street in the South Ward. And I got closer. I mean, that it became more and more something I was going to do. My youngest child at that time was 8 years old, so he didn't need mommy all the time. And the others were, the two girls were in high school, and the other boy was like in eighth grade or something like that. And I said, this is my chance. I negotiated with to get this art, this build, this storefront, and I painted it and I fixed it all up. And then I had an art gallery, but I had to get some art. So the first thing I did, not knowing any artist, I went to New York and I bought prints and I put prints up. And I spoke to Alita Caldwell. She was teaching at the Weekwick High School, but I knew her mother and I had seen some of her paintings. So I talked to her about having an exhibit and she said, oh no. She was backing off from it. And I convinced her and I had an exhibit that I knew how to do.
Eventually, that space became so much more to the artists and to the community.
Actually, what the gallery became was a meeting place for artists, like the artists from East Orange, the artists from Jersey City, even artists from New York came to exhibit. And so I had all these exhibits. It was an interesting concept because it was in a neighborhood, in a residential neighborhood. And these people, they don't go downtown to the Newark Museum, but they would come to the gallery openings. And also had classes, you know, for children, and then adults wanted classes. And it was a great fun thing. It was a great place, but it was making no money. So I think I had it for like 3 or 4 years. I eventually went to teaching.
Antoinette Baskerville Richardson is the oldest daughter of Gladys, and she remembers growing up in a home always full of art and supplies.
There's nothing about my mother that was outside of being an artist. Of course, she was my mother. Had she been an artist or not, she would have been, you know, my mother, our mother, you know, my father's wife. But I think, and obviously she took those things, you know, very seriously, but when I say that there was nothing outside of an artist, when we were growing up in our house, our dining room table, it didn't have like china and place settings and tablecloths and napkins on it. It had art supplies. And during the summer, all the kids in the neighborhood would come to our house and my mother would, you know, give like free art lessons, and all the kids in the neighborhood would be doing art at our dining room table. When I was growing up, my mother used to do, you know, she was we were a struggling family. So my mother used her art, her skills to help the family financially. And I used to trick my sister and my brothers into going to sleep. I'd get them to go to sleep, and then I would go downstairs, and I would work with my mother in the basement where she was cutting silk screen and silk screening T-shirts and actually hanging them up to dry in our basement. She did T-shirts for our elementary school, for Peshine Avenue School. So, again, she was our mother who took care of us and taught us everything and, you know, cooked and cleaned and stuff, but there was never a separation between her as a person and her as an artist. Of course, when we were young, I didn't know she was an artist. Like, I knew she did these things, but I didn't know that she was an artist. And I remember one time a friend of mine, I said that, and she was like, "How? What do you mean? That's not true that you didn't know your mother was an artist." Because I knew your mother was an artist when she made those T-shirts. And I'm like, well, I didn't. I just knew that my mother, you know, knew how to make some T-shirts.
Looking back at her mother's legacy, Baskerville Richardson, who is now the chief education officer for the city of Newark, realizes her mom taught her and others so much about education.
You couldn't work with her on a project without learning something about math and about science, okay? It just wasn't possible, okay? Because whatever she did, she was measuring and she was using, geometry. She was using physics. She was using all of these things, you know? You couldn't just, like, use some paints. You had to understand about the different compounds and how things, you know, work together and all of that kind of stuff. So I think the lesson there in her legacy is the importance of doing things well and doing things correctly. And how we communicate that, you know, that's the part I said that we have to figure out. But there's a lot that needs to be shared with artists, with art students, with young people, and just, you know, with the general population.
And that's where I really started using corrugated to represent the poor, the homeless.
A documentary film of Gladys's life debuted earlier this year, and this past September won Best Documentary in Newark's International Film Festival. Filmmakers Zelda and Ralph Patterson created Being Gladys. Zelda Patterson was amazed by Gladys Barker Grauer and how influential she was in the arts community.
She is so committed to social justice and the dignity of all human beings, no matter what station in life you are. So this is Gladys, and she was, I don't quite know how to characterize it, but all throughout her life, there were people who told Gladys that she couldn't do this and she couldn't do that. And at every step of the way, Gladys did what they told her she couldn't do. So this is just a marvelous woman, some woman we would want all women to know and to emulate. She's just that type of person. She's inspirational.
The filmmakers weren't aware of Gladys's work until they had to take a closer look and dig deeper in preparation for the documentary.
She started to share some of it, and some of it really touched me. And the fact that she always followed her heart, what she wanted to do and who she was in her life. So that's what prompted me to explore her, and her artwork demonstrates that. Many of her pieces have to do with, she has one piece where there's a gentleman who lives in a cardboard box, and he was in New York City, and as the garbage collectors come around, they run over stuff, and they ran over his house and ran over him. And she did this project that talked about this man's house and how it was destroyed and his life was destroyed because they didn't recognize it. So even her children say that they're moved by how their mother approaches and touches individuals who are homeless on the street. One of her sons said, there's no difference in how she talks to these individuals, how she recognizes them with such dignity.
Antoinette Baskerville Richardson says her mom was able to speak through her creations about the issues that were important to her. She had the ability to express herself and see the world in a way most people don't.
You know, the artist's eye is different. You know, sometimes, you know, we'd be looking at something, she'd say, like, this is so beautiful. And I'm like, well, where? What about it is beautiful? And it'd be something that she could see and feel that, you know, the ordinary person just didn't. And she did the same. She found beauty in everyone, some kind of way. So I think that it's also that she did not accept society's norms, but she didn't go around preaching about it. She did her art about it. Like she, a lot of her more recent themes had to do around black males. Like she has a weaving that she did, and sometimes she painted on the weaving. So she weave with fabric. She also weave with plastic bags, and the plastic bag and also corrugated, because the plastic bags and the corrugated to her had a lot to do with you know, our homeless population and how they use those things, you know, because that's all it, you know, sometimes that people would have. And so she incorporated a lot of that in her work.
Gladys Barker Grauer's art is an act of resistance. Those who experienced this visionary and was touched by her art will cherish her monumental impact on the community forever. For the WBGO Journal, I'm Britt Harley in Newark.